prison.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 122, brought to you by the death of the Green Goblin. So, sadly, it didn't happen in the movie.
He came back.
He's going to be okay because he's going to create these Sinister Six. Mwah-ah-ah.
You can bring him back a lot easier in comics than you can in movies anyway.
Yes.
He came back in the comic.
Well, he came back in the movie, but kind of just, he was tormenting Harry.
Yeah.
In 2 and 3, or 3 or 2, whatever it was, in the first version.
Incarnation. Yeah, I think
was
in both.
Was it both?
Yeah, I think
okay.
In both.
Weird.
You can't have enough William Dafoe in your movies.
I agree. I agree with that.
He plays crazy
he
really
does play
well.
Crazy very well.
It's the teeth.
Oh, it's more
that
than
could
it's
be.
The eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eyes Platoon, teeth. Boondock,
yeah.
Saints, all, yeah. I mean.
Helter Skelter.
Yeah, the eyes.
Yeah. He's scary.
Yeah.
Okay.
You should get him on the podcast.
Yeah, that.
He'd
oh,
be awesome.
Sure. Yeah.
Maybe him and Gary Busey.
Wouldn't
have
be funny
like a crazy contest.
Just now,
that'd
be
awesome.
Be like,
and I have to walk away and go let you guys continue on from this. That would
be
great.
You'd be like, that's William Dafoe on the phone.
Yeah. Well, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Sorry.
You sure?
Don't you know the name of the store you own?
No, not now. You've thrown me off. I don't know what's going on anymore. I'm ready to walk away. Had enough.
Who creates the Sinister Six?
Well, wait.
In the comics.
And joining me tonight are.
We were still talking about
Dave.
That.
Pat.
Adam. We were.
I might start charging you for coming here. You have to pay a fee.
I don't know. I was talking about the same.
Okay, go ahead. Talk about
no,
your Sinister
it's too late
Six.
Now.
No, it's not too late. We have no.
We're already off
talk.
The subject.
Keep talking. We're never off a subject.
I was going to say, if we remember who made the Sinister Six originally.
Gorilla Bob.
No.
Wasn't that Ock?
Yeah.
Oh, but he's dead.
He is.
He hasn't been shown yet.
Oh, I'm saying in the comics he's dead.
But people
oh,
should
yeah.
know that recently anyways, because he created a new one in that story where he like tries to burn up the Earth or whatever. End of Days.
Wow, dead silence. Way to go, Adam.
You're the,
killed
you're
it.
The leader.
You're the
leader. Let's go.
It. You said you had stuff to talk about.
I
you
just
go, yeah.
talked about it.
Yeah, Doc Ock. And
I
then
did.
Nothing.
I did.
Jeez.
We talked about it.
Okay. So the news, there's not a whole lot of comic news. I have one interesting thing I saw in the previews. We don't really know if we're going to get to previews. Plus, I don't have many copies left to pass around. But,
right on time.
Right on time. Yes, honey. But as far as news... Sorry. It's a request for Starbucks on the way home. Yeah. So we had the Constantine trailer that was, I don't not leaked, or what do you call it? When
no, it
I guess
released.
Shown. Yeah,
yeah
released.
Yeah,
there we go.
Released.
There we go. I thought it looked really good.
Yeah.
The only point of concern, and I have to agree with Kyle on this one, is he's a big Constantine fan. I feel I've done bad things to Kyle. Only in the sense that he came in one day and asked for something. He wanted something different, something that he hadn't read, and I turned him on to Hellblazer. And he since has read every single issue of Hellblazer and a little obsessed. Everything about the trailer was great. The look was perfect. The tone, everything seemed good, especially after he walked away. And he, at one point he said, bollocks, which was just
yes.
perfect. The only bad thing was there's something where he said something along the lines of, so there's hope for my soul.
Yeah.
Like, he can still save his soul. He doesn't care about his soul.
Yeah,
he could care less.
That's what I didn't like.
Least concern to him in the world. So, that just rang a little, is he going to try to redeem himself and all
well,
that?
But
so, I hope
you,
they don't
do that.
Can
you
have
a true that. Bastard character from the first episode? I mean, because essentially, essentially that's all they film is the first episode,
right.
the pilot, and that's where everything's from.
Yeah.
You want to sell the character to people that know nothing about Hellblazer. If you make him a complete bastard from the very beginning, it may not be
okay,
something
people grew to love him.
The way I see that, though, if you're going to do a character, just make your own character, then. You know, if you're going to change it that much.
No, it's not changing it a lot, but it's just a little change that is one of those, no, don't do that.
Yeah, but
you don't know the context of it either.
True.
He could be conning, you know,
but these are people that have never seen Constantine, read Constantine anyways, that you're talking about.
I don't care
about
them.
What?
Then they should have.
Huh?
They should have.
What?
Read Constantine.
Oh, no, I know that, but...
No, they saw the Keanu Reeves
movie. It doesn't really
thing,
matter
right?
if they're already if they're already into it or not, like... They're jumping into this to a character that we already know about. Like, those people are expecting kind of to see that. These people aren't. So you can do whatever you want. You know, you can make a character that's going to be this character who's trying to redeem themselves, but they just want to put a name on it is what they want to do. But
well, but, you know, maybe over time he grows that way. Or again, you know, maybe it was just a con. Maybe that was the whole thing, and he really doesn't care, and you see that.
Well, that's a possibility, too. But that's the kind of Constantine people are going to look for, I mean, in this.
So. Yeah, but overall, I thought it looked good. There's a new Peggy Carter series coming. I guess that's been greenlit.
Yeah, and I said that's it's going to be a mid-season type thing. So S.H.I.E.L.D. will play September or whatever through like December, and then when that goes on hiatus, that's when Peggy Carter will have the show, and then it'll go back to S.H.I.E.L.D.
So they'll show her helping create S.H.I.E.L.D. which falls and fails and doing
that,
it all wrong.
Did anybody see that Peggy Carter one shot film?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, actually good. I liked it. I thought it was really well done. If you haven't seen it, basically it shows her that, you know, at the beginning of S.H.I.E.L.D. and no one takes her seriously because she's the only woman. So it's, you know, here, go get us coffee, go type these reports. Me and the boys are going to go out drinking. And then she gets a phone call. She goes on a mission. And at the end,
Nick Fury shows up and says,
well, it's not Nick Fury. Oh, okay. It was Howard Stark and Dum Dum Dugan say, you know, hey, we're starting S.H.I.E.L.D. and you're going to be part of this. So I thought it was very well done. It stayed true to the character and stayed true to the time. And I think that's one of the things that's going to be interesting about the series is it's supposed to take place in 1946. So you kind of see the beginnings of what happened. My assumption is, you know, they'll bring back some of the Howling Commandos from the movie, too.
Is Tommy Lee Jones going to be in this? Because, like, they had his picture hanging up in the S.H.I.E.L.D. base that they went to.
Yeah.
You'd expect them.
And what about the guy's grandfather from the TV show? Yeah,
uh-huh. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Showing him using some of the same things that his son used in S.H.I.E.L.D.
His laser cigarette and his hair dryer.
Yeah,
and his the wind up toy.
Yeah, I like that, the wind up noisemaker.
Okay, and speaking of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's been picked up for another season.
Somehow,
shocking. And then we all just watched the end of the last episode. Which was good, not great. There was a lot of stuff kind of, they introduced a lot of stuff that kind of then went blah, like that little network base and all that.
Cybertech, Cyberdyne. That was their headquarters. No, Cyberdyne was Terminator.
Yeah, Cyberdyne.
Sorry.
They were creating Skynet.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what they were doing.
They're kind of making all those little Terminators.
Yeah.
Weird.
I don't remember seeing Miles Dyson anywhere, though.
But it was good. There was a lot to it. Everybody's saying the big reveal, oh, you know, they got Samuel L. Jackson. It's like, well, all Marvel has to do is tell him where to be and send him a check, and I think pretty much they got Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the way he is for any movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially now that he's tied in with this Nick Fury thing, you know. Hey, you know, hey Sam, we need you for a day of shooting. Here's $2 million. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, he was fine. He was good in it and everything. It certainly picked up from the end of Captain America. I thought it was good.
I liked his interaction with Coulson.
Yeah.
Even at the end where he was just arguing with him about the whole Tahiti program.
But that was neat. That was kind of neat. You know, it was supposed to be used to save an Avenger. It was. You know, that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Although Coulson needs to show more of that. Because even throughout the show, he's been
second guess himself,
and a little wishy washy. You know, not super assertive agent. He's been a little.
But in the Avengers movie, he was kind of like that. When he was around Captain America, he was like that too. You know, his personality has never been direct or material. He's a good agent,
yes,
but
that's why it was just weird that this whole show was based around him.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. I guess when I heard about it, I realized he'd be a major character, but I thought it would be more a team. And then, like coming to him, he would be, you know, almost in the Nick Fury role of assigning missions and doing that, overseeing that, not being such a main character. And I don't know if all his appearances throughout in all the movies didn't really warrant him as a main character. He was just kind of, you know, especially when his start in Iron Man, when it was just kind of, excuse me, we need to talk to you.
Yeah.
You know, it was very, you know, field agent guy.
Yeah.
So, but no, I thought the episode was good. Few too many endings. Seemed to keep ending and ending and ending.
That's all it did.
But it looks like we've definitely seen the end of Agent Garrett. But we have not lost Patton Oswalt.
So. He'll be back. Agent Garrett will be back. He'll be like...
I don't know. He's kind of
he was pretty
nullified.
Liquefied.
Yeah.
He'll become some sort of villain that they make up that's based, that's liquid-based.
And the little teaser at the end about now they found Skye's parents and stuff, I don't care. I'm sorry if I might be the only person that doesn't care about Skye's parents, but... I wanted her to do something. I wanted her to reveal some power, some under stress, something happens. You know, electricity shoots out of her eyes at Ward or something like that. I wanted there to be something. And what jail are they taken to since now S.H.I.E.L.D. is dissolved and Hydra has taken over everything? That was my one question there at the end.
They still have secret bases.
Yeah.
Right, but they were like taking them. It almost looked like they turned them over to the authorities, but maybe not.
Yeah, I don't think that they would turn him over to the authorities. I mean, Coulson
well, it
was
worked
pretty
well, so well
about
sending him off to jail last
yeah.
time. So,
well.
Or at least Garrett.
They never fully explained what Project Tahiti was either, which is... I don't think they did.
Or at least who's the blue... Yeah, they haven't explained who the blue guy was.
I read something today, I think it was, and they were talking about that the markings on the blue guy are the same markings that they have on some of the... blue aliens and Guardians of the Galaxy. So that really leads to Kree. And we know Inhumans are not far behind. And that's,
that explains things. But I just think Inhumans is going to be a real hard sell to people
show.
In general. Well, if they did one Inhumans, I don't know. It just seems
that's
just confusing.
It's a hard sell with comic the world opening up to him was...
Was
this whole Inhuman thing?
But it's
possibility.
It's hard enough with comic books to sell the Inhumans.
Yeah, they're not doing it. Where's Inhuman 2? I mean,
there's certain characters
been...
in comic books that make better side characters, like that fit into like regular books, like Inhumans and Fantastic Four. Like if you had Fantastic Four and you had an Inhuman story in that, it worked. Like it could work better. They could tell something. But Inhumans by itself. Doesn't work. Yeah, Hulk.
Well,
Hulk's the best example.
Yeah.
Well, it's
for
tough
that.
When the
yeah.
main Inhuman doesn't talk.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but like I'm thinking, even like they're really pushing this inhumanity thing, and then Inhuman was so late, and now it just feels like issue two's late because since Inhuman's come out, we've now next week we'll have two issues of Spider-Man. Well, technically three, mm-hmm. and we probably had two issues of. Superior after that, and then number one was reprinted in Spider-Man. Next week we're already getting issue two of Spider-Man. We still don't have issue two of
Inhuman.
And it's like, okay, everything
it's,
was...
It's one of those things that you look at when they mention this, like, and they're bringing out an Inhumans book, and when you hear that, like, is anybody else but me, like, think to themselves, that's not going to work?
No, but they're
like,
not helping themselves
that.
By... And it might not be late in month terms, but just it feels late.
Yeah.
I don't know. When I see an Inhumans book, I look back at one of the other Inhumans books that they've had, and they don't work. Why do they think all of a sudden Inhumans is going to pick up? When they need to focus on it, and they do kind of focus on it, but they do have these Avengers, but they don't have a serious Avengers team. And I know I've mentioned this a lot, because but they don't. How are you marketing Avengers when you don't have an Avengers team like the movie? You know, you have such a spread-out team of Avengers... And if somebody comes into the store and says, you know, my kid's interested in Avengers, and you had somebody who was looking for Avengers on Free Comic Book Day, and you had to lead him to Avengers Assemble,
mm-hmm.
well, that's not even a book that really ties into it, but he's right. What
yeah.
else could he tie? Put
but
him
then what
into?
Hurt
the,
there, that first trade
was
30 like, bucks, so he bought it, but still, he was kind of like, yeesh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't understand how they're bringing out characters. When I do look at DC... Right now, it's kind of sometimes hit or miss. Like, they do have characters, but they're trying them out. They know when to cancel them. You know, they all of a sudden, we might get five issues of of this book that came out. And they said, you know what, it's not working, we got to cancel it. Because it isn't working. So then they replace it with something else.
Mm-hmm.
And see what they can do. But Marvel doesn't know when to end a book. They will keep, like, how long was Avengers AI out? Like, that book should have been, like, with the three issues, nobody was reading it.
Well, it got canceled at 12, but that was 12, and it started... When did that start? Right at the end of Age of Ultron, so it hasn't been that long. You got 12 issues pretty quick.
It just doesn't make any sense, all the books that they keep going. It just doesn't, it doesn't work.
And I get the idea of trying to do different and quirky, and I don't really have a problem with that, but that book just had no place.
No.
There was no setup for it, and I've said this before, I wish they'd go back to...
Now, I'm trying, well, because Vision was the leader of Avengers AI.
Yeah.
What was he in prior to that? Because I can't remember a single book that I read
he
that he
gone.
Was
he came,
in.
Well, he came back in that Avengers, remember, and then they just showed him waking up in the basement.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
that's
Tony
how they
Stark.
Brought the character
yeah.
back.
Yeah.
The character was dead for since Disassembled.
Yeah.
And then they all of a sudden, then Colin kept joking about that when they did it, because all of a sudden Tony Stark was just like, I fixed him.
Yeah.
It's just like, why did you fix him a long time ago?
Yeah.
Like, where did this come from?
Tony had a long weekend. He figured out, I'll go fix Vision while I'm at it.
After that, what did they do with the character? For a long time,
nothing.
We didn't see anything.
No.
And then all of a sudden, they kept hinting at Age of Ultron, Age of Ultron, Age of Ultron, like it was going to be this big thing. And then they did nothing with it. Then Marvel Now happened. And
well, they did bring Angela in.
Marvel Now was not set up in the same type of
no.
thing as Avengers, what was it called? Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
So it, and there's William Dafoe, and and it changed. It didn't matter. Like Age of Ultron, really, to this day, does not matter. The only thing it did was bring Angela into the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
And if you really created a mini series to
bring
Angela into
in.
The universe, then I think we got some issues at Marvel. I really do.
Well, and then they didn't know what to do with that character either.
Yeah, and then they didn't know what to do with
that. Thor's sister, right?
So, I don't know. I think
she
what
is now.
Marvel needs to think.
She is
this
now.
Is what I've been saying for a long time, and I used to read everything Marvel. What I think Marvel needs to decide right now is they need to eliminate the people in their company that do things just because they sound cool. You know? Not, you know, kind of think it out. Don't say, well, this will be cool with Angela without Thor's sister. And, because she has feathers on her head, too.
And we'll add we'll
you know? It's just like, okay, that's...
And we'll add a tenth realm.
Yeah, and it's just like, you're not... I just don't get it. I really don't. I've said this so many times. I don't want to be harsh on Marvel, but I've seen drastic changes with Marvel in this last 10 years. And it's not the same as what Quesada was trying to bring back. And when he did kind of save Marvel from, you know, its bankruptcy. And it's kind of went downhill. And I hate to say it, but it's went downhill since the movies. Because they're trying to make the comic books into the movies.
Well, it is kind of funny. I'm listening to the Fat Man on Batman with... Joe Quesada, and the first one was very interesting. The first one was great about his career and everything. It was fascinating. The second one was all about Captain America, and yeah, we did this and we're doing that, and it's like we, you know, the comics and the movies really don't. You can tell there's not a lot of
no
organization between the two.
But
so.
What's happening? And like I said, it's not just that you know these guys think you know they just try to do what's cool. There's a lot of fanboys running Marvel, and that could be an issue because you're not actually thinking what actually works. You're thinking of what
well, be
you,
cool.
You
what
like
do I want
to
see? Yeah,
you know.
Well,
and
I remember when Quesada first came on as editor in chief. Part of his mission was to get rid of all the ancillary stuff.
Yeah,
just that didn't was just there to be there, like. Just pare down the X-Men titles, pare down the Avengers, but now
and they
did
that. Yeah.
They're totally out the window. And it's little things like we have Amazing X-Men, which seemed to be a Nightcrawler book,
Yeah.
You know, the whole basis of it, going down, getting Nightcrawler out of hell and everything. And now he has his own book. And it's like,
so what's the point
okay, what's the point of Amazing Spider, or Amazing X-Men?
Does it feel like they're setting themselves up for failure when they do that? Well, like, to me, it does, because it seems like you had a Nightcrawler book. Now, you know, people aren't really going to buy so much.
Yeah.
You know, I do it. I have to say, you know what, I can't get two Nightcrawler books just because they want to have Nightcrawler in two books. Like, I like Nightcrawler. But now it's complicated.
He's a nice guy.
He's nice. He, you know, but
came back from the dead.
I don't know. I just don't see it. Like, in the Avengers, is that the same way? I don't like care about any of these Avenger teams that they have, and
yeah.
I don't know who the Avengers are anymore. So what am I reading this? I read Spider-Man and Daredevil. Why? Well, Spider-Man is at least still Spider-Man. He's not.
Yeah,
has nothing to do with the
but
movies.
That's new.
So. And. Daredevil is by itself,
yeah.
You know, and even Hawkeye, who is doing a lot of, who is in the movies, at least they're not turning that into the movies. It really isn't have anything to do with the
movies.
But with the Avengers books, you kind of see it when all of a sudden Thanos is on everything. How long was it since we've seen Thanos
mm-hmm.
before he was shown? How often do we see Rocket Raccoon? You know, it's just like, it's obvious that's what they're doing. I don't get it.
It was funny. They were also talking about the big success of Guardians of the Galaxy. It's like,
let
it come out, guys.
Yeah.
You know, the trailer was a hit. It was a hit in February at the Super Bowl or around then.
Yeah.
Let's see how, you know.
You know, more power to them if the movie does well. Like, that's not, you know, but it's the comics and that are two separate things. And all of a sudden, they kind of got big-headed with, while we're doing real cool things, we're making movies and stuff. It's just like, as Colin says, you're not making the movies. You're making the comic book. You know, it's, you're not the same people as them, and they don't realize that. So they're trying to do all the movie stuff, and it's just like, this is not why people were reading Marvel Comics before that. It was because they were at least trying. I mean, that's why I said Bendis. I didn't mind Bendis at first, but it seems like that's all they got Bendis doing anymore, is trying to do the movie stuff. And it's just like, I don't, I'm not caring about that, you know? I liked Avengers Disassembled. I thought it was a good
mm-hmm.
story. And I liked House of M. It was new. It was a new idea.
Yeah, different.
Yeah, and Civil War, I didn't, like, totally get into it until later.
See, I really liked Civil War.
And then later on, I kind of, it grew on me a little bit.
Okay.
Like, it was one of those books that I was like, you know what, it kind of makes sense. Because it led into Dark Reign. I like Dark Reign.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, stuff just started to go downhill. I don't know if they were just getting bored all of a sudden, and now it's all movies. So I'm just like, eh. That's when I decided I was done with it, kind of.
You know, for the most part, it's been event after event after event.
Yep. A lot of events. But with my DC books, I'm at least reading stories just about characters, and sometimes they'll do crossovers, but they won't do as many events. Now, we are in one of the biggest DC events right now, but, you know, it's not tying into everything. You know, I can read my Swamp Thing book, and it's
right.
a Swamp Thing story.
It's
yeah.
the Justice League books and then the minis that tied in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, I have a couple people who are, and everybody's welcome to do this, but, like, they want Original Sins out, they want all the tie-ins. They want the whole shebang.
Mm.
Okay. No problems. But I have to go and then put in all the little extra titles and things like that. And it's
yeah.
going through a ton of books.
Mm-hmm.
First one being
Avengers
today. I haven't
yeah.
read it yet, but so.
But what happens with Avengers is it probably had some story that they were doing with it before all this, and all of a sudden now they've put it on the side burner because, you know, they have to do this tie.
It's going to be a little interesting just as far as Original Sin is, just basically it's going to show every character has a deep, dark secret. It's like, well, you're making all your heroes now.
Anti-heroes.
Yeah, or,
which,
you know, depending on what the secret is. And we finally know now what the point ones are, kind of. This first batch, the 3.1s, which we had to order all four issues of last week, which is weird. Normally you order three weeks before it ships.
Yeah.
You don't have to order all four the same week, so I ordered low. But it's Hulk versus Iron Man. It's like, yeah, okay. And apparently Iron Man had something to do with the gamma bomb testing, and hence the creation of.
Remember him being there. But.
And then the 5.1 through 5 is going to be Thor versus Loki. So there's going to be some sin in their past that they're going to fight over for five issues.
You know what? Truthfully, I'm sure there's a sin in all of their past.
Yeah.
It's like they're making it like they're all good.
Except for maybe Captain America. No. You know what, though? He could have done some war atrocities back in World War II that no one knows about.
We don't Captain know what Bucky. He did in that ice cube. We don't know what he was doing.
He wiped out a whole platoon of Germans after they had turned themselves in, you know,
his
something
ice cube
like that.
Was floating around and hit a whale right in the head. You know? And that whale was like, you know? And that crashed into a boat and sank it. That was his original son.
There you go.
Okay.
He didn't even want to.
Okay, back on track. Arrow. On now, the big season finale. Very much looking forward to watching this. They're not really pulling any punches on this show.
No.
Since the episode before last, when they killed Ollie's mom, and then there was a big confrontation finally with Brother Blood, mm-hmm. and kind of all that made sense and where it was going, and then all of a sudden, boom, Brother Blood's killed. It was like, what?
I don't get how he walked out of there with the cure. Because he was there with Slade and Ravage, and then they opened it up, and like, okay, well, we know what this is, and then somehow he walked out, and then Slade called and said, you gave it to him. How did he have that? Like, what did you think he was going
to
go do with it?
Unless he was, like, wanting him to do that or something.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that made me think.
But they already had the confrontation where Brother Blood basically said, you know, hey, what are you doing? This is supposed to be my city, and... You know, Destro tells him pound sand.
I do, like, how Brother Blood was like, you know, I'll fix this. He's just like, you're going to jail. Like,
yeah.
But then, like, that was it. He kills him. Like, he's just, that's over. You know, it doesn't even matter. And I still keep laughing.
Breaking news.
Destro. What, is it supposed to be Rose?
Yeah.
It's definitely Rose?
Yes. Yes.
I just keep laughing at her costume. Like, it's
goofy. Deathstroke looks so good, and she looks so bad.
Yeah, that's okay.
Maybe she was like, in order for me to work with this, you have to show my face or something like that. They couldn't, like, cover her face. Do, like, half. That would have been cool. Like, if she had the half.
Half
like,
of it, yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess Flash is supposed to be showing up tonight, and the big final epic confrontation with Deathstroke.
And then run back.
Yeah. He'll run up, grab Deathstroke's arms, let Ollie beat him up, and then...
Yeah.
Oh, and then the big finale of last week... Where, what's her name, shot her dad?
She didn't shoot her dad.
Oh.
What are you talking about?
When Thea shot. I'm sure there were some guys standing behind him, and that's who she shot.
Shot some guy. Just some random bomb.
Well, I'm sure there was some guy in a Deathstroke mask.
He was asking for change.
That'll learn you. But I thought that was good, and I'm very much looking forward to
it. What's his name now? Detective again?
Yes.
I like how everybody's what's his name. Like,
well,
her
dad, Detective Lance.
Yeah,
and
Lance.
Now, and what's her name? Laurel knows that he's, and you know, now Black Canary has a name of Canary. I don't have good feeling about Sarah surviving the episode.
I want Sarah to survive the episode. I don't want Laurel to survive the episode.
I want Laurel to be the new Black Canary. That's going to rock.
I do too.
She's
going to be so
She
awesome.
Is so annoying.
I don't like Sarah. On the other way.
You don't like blondes? Okay.
She's not even a blonde.
Yeah, she is.
Well, she kind of is, but then she puts on a wig.
She's a blonder blonde than she puts on the wig.
She's like, my hair is not blonde enough.
Correct.
So she puts on a wig to hide the blondness. I don't understand. I don't understand their secret identities. Actually, this show does have really bad secret identities because he doesn't wear a mask. He wore, like, weird makeup.
Green makeup.
Then he finally got a mask, and it's all good now.
And the Flash made his mask for him.
They're forever linked now, man.
Yeah.
Flash has goggles, right? Does he wear goggles in that?
No, that's Johnny Quick.
He should have goggles.
I don't think he has
goggles. Would it make sense for these characters to have goggles when you're running
around
fast?
Yeah,
eyes would just be like,
what was it?
They'd sink back in your skull.
Oh, it was the Flashpoint Paradox. Superman made a joke about that when he was taking Professor Zoom to jail. He said, close your mouth unless you want a mouthful of bugs.
Impulse had goggles, didn't he?
Yeah. Okay, and then the other big thing, the Batman image was released, creating a internet firestorm.
It was funny.
Worst Batman ever.
Oh, it's going to be the worst. It
was funny because nobody knew what they wanted.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, no, but, I mean, the way his Boston accent came out of that picture, I mean, there's no way he can be a decent Batman.
I absolutely agree.
But, yeah, this movie has no chance... Only because of all the hate that it's getting. I was just, there was a post by another comic store owner talking about it was an interview with Jesse Eisenberg saying, you know, he really didn't know all the other Lex Luthors. He hasn't studied them or anything, and he's just going to try to, you know, do the character
he's
the way...
He's going to be Hackman.
Well, he's going to do the character the way the script has it and the way the director wants him to do it. And he's the guy was like, oh, well, you know, that's, you know, this is going to be crap. You know, you can't give the people what they want. You're going to try to do your own thing. That'll never work. And I was so tempted to reply, yeah, because Heath Ledger's Joker was exactly like Nicholson. I'm just, and I actually step back. I'm like, no, I'm not going to get into an internet war, but, you know, flame war. It's just no point.
You know, it is. There's no point of that. Once you start getting into those
but
arguments,
the image
they will
looks
find
good.
Any
it looks
way
like
to
Dark Knight Returns back.
Yeah, that was different, and he didn't do this, you know, yeah. But this guy is this. And it's just like, yeah, there's no point arguing with you.
I think the problem is we're so close removed from the Nolan Batmans, and they were so well received that no one can pull that.
They
unless
still,
they got,
still
unless
love
they got
the
Christian
market,
Bale
you know.
And, you know, put him in the black suit, people were going to hate it.
Yeah, it's just they're
and
they're
people hated Christian Bale.
I really didn't mind the costume at all. Like when I looked at the costume, first of all, the first thing I thought I said, it's very much Dark Knight Returns.
Yes,
it's got the short ears, the big bat symbol.
Mm-hmm.
I love how people have been coloring it.
Yeah,
to try to give you like different ways of what it might look like. My
I did like how they
so
they colored it as Catman. I thought that was very
yeah. Cool. I thought that one was cool.
When they did the Batman 66 coloring.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I kind of like the blue, to tell you the truth. It's something about the blue, it's just like it's never been done before, why not? But
yeah.
I don't think they'll do it because of that reason. You know, they want it to be as iconic to Batman movie people.
Yeah, it's going to be black with gray. Black with gray.
And I doubt it'll have the yellow symbol. That's another thing. Everybody's been putting the yellow symbol. I feel like it's going to be black. It's already kind of black in the picture. It's not going to be yellow. So, I don't know. And the Batmobile looks kind of different. It looks like a mix between the Tumbler and the Michael Keaton.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looked like the old one a little bit.
It kind of had an actual car feel, not a tank, but it had kind of a tank look to it. You know? I don't know. I have no problem with this. I think they'll pull it off. And, like, it's funny, a friend of mine, he wasn't sure. Like, he was on edge, and he texts me. And he's like, he's just like, oh, this might be the end of Zack Snyder. And then, like, I got, like, 5 minutes later, he's like, never mind, I was wrong. I was just like, okay, are you sure? But that's how the internet's been. Like, it's been, once this thing came out, like, everybody's not sure if they like it or dislike it or not. And it's just like, well, that's how you're supposed to be. Like, but.
Well, the other thing is, we don't know how much Batman's really going to be in this. It hasn't been announced as Batman vs. Superman. It's Man of Steel 2.
Mm-hmm.
It may be a Superman movie that Batman may show up at the end. Batman and Superman may never even interact. I mean, one of the things I talked about on the podcast a while ago is this is going to set up Justice League, and they may show, you know, on a TV you see, you know, a green streak and that's Green Lantern, or you see Flash run across or something like that.
Yeah.
So the characters are there. They've technically appeared in the movie, but you really don't. There's no interaction amongst the characters. They're not the Justice League.
Yeah.
Batman and Superman don't fight. I mean, it may happen, but
I'm a little curious on how if they're going to do any of the TV crossovers, like with these shows. What's funny is, first of all, how is Gotham part of Fox? Like, I don't understand that at all.
That's just the TV network that picked up the pilot.
Okay, but it's still made by Warner Brothers? Like, it's
probably.
Yeah, I would assume.
There's shows on ABC that are made by CBS.
Yes.
Really?
You know,
yeah.
Okay, well, then that's, I was wondering that, but I was wondering, though, if it's just going to tie into those, because I said, first of all,
that one
do
I don't
Justice
think,
League,
well.
Maybe?
Not yet, because Bruce is only, like, 10. So.
Yeah, I think Flash will tie in.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, I understand if you might not use Green Arrow, but, like,
they will.
Flash?
You know, I've heard that before, but it's like, okay, not in this movie, we're not going to get Green Arrow, because if you're putting your Justice League together... Green Arrow's not in your original
Flash
run of it.
Yeah.
Right. Flash, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman, Aquaman.
And it's Cyborg, they've already said it's going to be.
Yeah.
Hey, they're going for the new 52.
Yeah.
That's, well, and it makes sense. I mean, that's what Marvel would do as well. It's marketing towards what they're going to sell in comics. In this case, it is selling. Making the movies like the comic books. Because now people can come in and find a Justice League book that has Cyborg in it if they want it, you know? But let's not get into that argument with debate about Marvel.
Okay, and then the last bit of news is Marvel is Channing Tatum has been cast as Gambit.
The world was clamoring for that.
Yes.
Somebody posted on Facebook, I don't remember who it was, but they said, like, could they ever, like, make me care less about Gambit? They did, like, that was it.
I don't know. I mean, I was actually talking to my wife about this because X-Men comes out here next week, I think. And she asked me if I want to go see it. And I'm like, I don't know. Their X-Men movies have been hit or miss. And the ones I've seen in the theater have kind of been the ones I didn't want to see in the theater. And the ones that I didn't see in the theater were the good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know. That's the same with me.
And, you know, they did the original Fantastic Four, which was not well received and wasn't very good.
I saw X-Men 2 in theaters. I did see that.
I didn't see... I was deployed when that one came out. I saw the first one in theaters, and I actually liked the first one.
Yeah,
I was deployed when the second one came out, so I didn't see that. So I went and rushed to go see the third one and wasn't real happy about that.
The second one... I think the second one, in my opinion, was probably the best.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The first one was good. I kind of liked the team. It's the X-Men team people knew.
Yeah.
You know, pretty well. The third one, well, it was the director change. Like, it was, who knows, the director of this one might go to jail, so we don't know. Bryan Singer, but...
Yeah.
Who
directed the first two?
Three kind of just derailed the whole movie. Like, the whole franchise for a long time.
Yeah.
And then they mainly were focusing on Wolverine to keep it going.
Yeah, but
and the Wolverine Origins wasn't that good.
No, it
and the whole Deadpool thing upset everybody.
And they killed basically everybody off in the third one.
And the third one, they killed everybody. Yeah, Xavier, Jean Grey, Cyclops. It's just like
you said, Kelsey Grammer Beast.
Well, yeah, but
I like Kelsey Grammer Beast.
My only memory of Kelsey Grammer Beast was at one point he jumps and you could see. He falls, but he was held by wires when he jumped, and the wires hold him up and pick him back up, and he continues running. It's the funniest thing I remember, because I only saw it once in the theater. I remember seeing going, yeah, you might want to make a second take on that one, Mr.
He's
Director.
Beast, he can fly. Yeah.
But it was kind of funny, because you could see he stumbled in the wire, and he's kind of, oh, and then the wires picked him up. It was just really, really, you said the editor said, oh, that looks good.
Yeah, that looks good. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What an awful movie. It was awful. Like my whole problem with with the third movie was they were kind of like being peaceful with the mutants. Like, besides the whole cure thing. Like, they were... It was everything was
besides
okay.
The whole forced cure thing.
Yeah. Well, they weren't forcing them for this.
Other than the concentration camps, the Germans were real good to the Jews.
But they weren't forcing the mutants. They were telling them, come to the industry if you want the cure. Like, they were
They had all the weapons.
Oh, yeah, they were ready.
Yeah,
but what I'm
ready
saying
for,
is, like,
yeah.
Beast was on, like, in the government. Like,
yeah, he was Secretary of Mutant Affairs or something.
Like, that wouldn't even exist. And I think that was a problem because, like, okay, first of all, they show us the Sentinels, which everybody was wanting to see. And it turned out it was only a Danger Room session.
Yeah.
But
that was very Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
That whole scenario.
So, I don't know. It's...
But then that exact scenario was repeated at the end. It was just like, oh, foreshadowing.
Yeah. I don't know, but I think they're... Some things are, like, weird, that they're not paying attention to what they do. Like, they're bringing out, like... They had Emma Frost in the first class, but then she was in that scene in Wolverine Origins where she was in the prison.
Right, but they said that they never actually called her Emma Frost. They never actually named her.
Yeah, but come on. She
right,
you
no, she had
name
the power
you want.
Yeah,
she turned
yeah.
herself into diamonds. She could read, you know, she was reading minds and whatnot, and she was Emma Frost.
Yeah, I get that, but they never actually called her that.
I don't even know when it took place. Like, what year that movie Wolverine Origins took place. And that was kind of important to
when
know.
When did Three Mile Island melt down? 73? That's when it was supposed to be. Yeah.
I thought.
Oh, so, okay.
When I was in.
Yeah.
So, like, it doesn't match up with, like, how young these characters are. And then Cyclops was there. And then he was definitely Cyclops.
Oh, yeah.
They might not even call him.
Well, they even called him Sky.
Okay, if they did, that's all right. And then you have Havoc in the other movie, and he's like older than him in the 60s and 70s. And then by this time, he should be like, if it took place in the X-Men movie took place in late 90s, early 2000s, how old are these characters? You know, stuff just doesn't line up very well because of all this.
And how does Jennifer Lawrence become Rebecca Romijn?
I don't know, but she did it in the movie. She transformed into her. I was like, that's funny. That was funny. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. But First Class was really good.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this one. They're both Bryan Singer, which I think he kind of has a feel for the X-Men, even though he's never read the X-Men. He's not really an X-Men person. But it works.
Okay. That's all the news. Other than I just wanted to point out one thing. Just people are so quick to jump on DC when they make a creator change, and oh, they fired so and so, and everybody's jumping on stuff. So I'm looking. Oh, crap.
We already had our hate on Marvel.
No. Just I noticed that. Sorry. Oh, hang on.
We'll be back after these messages.
No, this isn't Short Box Podcast.
Make a commercial quick.
No, so I was looking through the Marvel previews, and I noticed this one just kind of jumped out at me, was in X-Men, the X-Men book, with no adjective, the adjectiveless X-Men.
The X-Men, because there's no men in it?
Maybe I'm wrong now. Or maybe it was something, but it looks like, or maybe it was something I read, but in the new X-Men, I guess 18 or something came on, that there's a new writer on it. Brian Woods off X-Men. And it's like one of those, where's everybody up in arms that Wood is now off X-Men and he got fired and
because he,
editorial doesn't know what they're doing.
He probably
and all this
is
stuff.
Okay with it. He's probably like, I'm okay with this. Marvel is good. Isn't that how they usually, then they do like a tweet saying that like,
well, what normally,
that faction did that, didn't he?
What normally happens is like the editorial comes out where you never hear from DC editorial. They're never, you know, they don't have their weekly columns on comic book resources and stuff. But I just found it interesting. Or it might have been some article I saw that about the new storyline in that. And I just remember going, what the hell, what happened to Brian Wood?
Comic books are weird.
They are weird. So, let's get to last week's books. Need to move this along. It's late. What I read last week, I'm sure Adam read this too, Amazing Spider-Man 1.1.
No.
I kept waiting for it to get somewhere. It's basically, it's a book taking place.
Spider-Man 1.
Well, it's taking place at Beck, the original Spider-Man number one. And basically, the whole thing was Peter trying to find work. And I kept waiting for something to happen, and nothing was happening.
It deals with,
I thought it was supposed to be
Spider-Man
Silk.
Guy or whatever.
No, that's in regular Spider-Man.
That's regular Spider-Man.
I thought that was going to, that's what I was waiting for, and I'm reading,
this is supposed
and I'm
to,
reading, and I'm reading, and just like nothing happened throughout the entire.
I thought it was when the spider bit someone else, and that's what the whole.
No, that's going to be in current Spider-Man.
Yeah, I thought that was Spider-Man. What point one was supposed to be, the parallel adventures of.
No,
whoever
this might have you confused.
It's almost like chapter one that they had long ago, John Byrne did.
Okay. Yeah, but it's supposedly what it's supposed to lead into. If you read Amazing Spider-Man, the little intros and everything.
Yeah.
Okay, this is maybe
in a second.
Why. It was another kid who was such a fan. He was a smart kid, everything. He was a fan of seeing Spider-Man back then.
Okay.
That he, Well, it's not back then. He's a fan of him now. Spider-Man's now on the scene. He's doing television. He saw him at wrestling. He wants to become Spider-Man. So he creates his own Spider-Man identity, which is like this like white suit. And I forget what he calls himself.
But he wasn't bit. Yeah, that never
he's
came
not
up
bit,
in that.
But he's kind of more tech-based. But this is what 1.1 or I don't know, whatever. Maybe 1.2.
It's a good jumping on point.
You know,
Spider-Man. It's basically Spider-Man year one.
But it's basically they wanted to tell a story. Well, it's not necessarily even year one. Like, it is, but it isn't. It's that they wanted to go back and tell a story. But they wanted to introduce a new character, but in the past. So,
and it's just a little frustrating, just the confusion aspect of it. The people who got Spider-Man number one, then they're reading this going, what does this have to do with that last book?
That's Marvel's own fault because Marvel makes these little 1.1 blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but why, they didn't have to call it Amazing Spider-Man Point One. Exactly. They could have called it, you know, Amazing Spider-Man the first year.
They could have gave it its own
but
title.
Here's literally what they told us and that when I asked about that down in Atlanta. It wouldn't have sold as well. If they did it as a separate miniseries, it wouldn't have sold as well. So by making it 1.1, they're getting the orders like me, who didn't know how in the world to order it. And I'm having to throw it in everybody's folder who gets Amazing Spider-Man because it's technically the next issue because it's 1.1, same series.
Is it just me, or does that seem deceitful?
It seems intentionally confusing. Uh-huh. Well, they're getting good sales numbers.
Oh, of course they are, because they're tricking people into buying it because they think it's involved with it.
Well, yeah, they get good sales numbers on 0.1. But what's going
to
happen?
Yeah, what happens at 1.1? Yeah. Is it 2.1 or is it 1.2?
It wasn't bad, but like I said, the whole time I'm reading it, I'm waiting for that other character to show up. I'm waiting for something to happen.
And you just kind of. Spider-Man or whatever.
Well, that, but also you had in the beginning of Spider-Man 1, number 1, it showed, you know, what can happen in a fraction of a second. Well, apparently a spider can walk across an entire room and bite somebody in a fraction of a second. But I kept waiting for that to come up, and it
never
did.
What happened to that amnesia?
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Was
that
digital only or something? Oh.
Well, you still kind of had amnesia.
And they're bringing out the Daredevil digital only one at Prince.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I don't order those. I don't. Because it'll come out as a $35 trade. And that's what the Iron Man one did. It was a 35 either a trade or hardcover. And I just looked at it, I'm like, $35 for something you put out digitally already.
Read it. It wasn't. It was just him going to San Francisco. Like, it didn't have that much going on.
The wacky adventures of Matt Murdock on a road trip.
Yeah. And he was on a plane, but then they had to land it, and then he had to get off the plane, and then he got lost doing some sort of Daredevil business, and he never got back on the plane, so he has to get to California.
He hitchhiked.
Yeah.
Walking the wrong way.
He was walking south.
He couldn't see where he was going.
Ended up in the Gulf of Mexico.
Okay.
Wow.
Moving on. Batman Eternal number 5. This book has been really good. In this one, there was very little Batman. It was mostly Red Robin and what's her name? Harper Row.
Yeah. Yeah.
And basically showing the beginnings of her becoming Bluebird.
Yeah.
So that was very good with this mysterious virus or
the nanos.
But what's up
nano
with that? Somethings. Like, we're in a story like dealing with the Roman, and all of a sudden there's like nanites.
Well, I think basically that's just showing there's more than just that going on.
No, problem with it.
This
it's
is
just
letting,
kind of funny. Like, who would have ever expected that?
The other thing I see this being is more than just a Batman book. It's almost like a Batman family book.
Yeah.
And so now this is getting Red Robin involved. This is the start of Bluebird. You're going to have Bat. You saw a little bit of Batgirl. So you're going to see more than that.
They talked about Damian. They talked about Dick. They talked about Jason. So it's.
And it also set up the fact that...
Where's Jason?
That they believe that Dick is dead, which is going to set up the Grayson book and allow him to do stuff with people assuming
he's
not there.
Well, but that was just it. Red Robin said with what happened to Dick, and Batman didn't respond. So
right.
I didn't know if...
Well, Batman's
He was
know.
There. He knows.
Right.
So that's why I'm thinking he might have set that whole thing up.
But to
know,
save
got him a job
Dick,
interview
since,
with Spiral.
Since he was outed... you know, it's a good way to get get him out of the public eye, let him keep doing stuff.
Yeah.
So I thought that was good. Madame Frankenstein was a book from Image. Interesting, kind of set in the 30s. This doctor meets this really beautiful girl. She's in a car accident. He puts her back together, and she becomes Madame Frankenstein. Kind of nothing really new. So, and it was black and white, which not that that's normally bad, but it just. When you open it up, it just seems a little bit lessened. There was no reason for it to have been black and white. It certainly could have been color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes black and white are done moody, for effect. That one just didn't. Like Punk Rock Jesus was black and white, but that was for effect. I think that was really good. This one, I don't know, just it was okay.
There's some green.
Didn't
in
sell
there.
Much.
What,
yeah,
this one was in black and white.
Yeah, this Madame Frankenstein was.
Kind of makes sense. They're trying probably do that. That old style
horror
aspect.
But it just, I don't know, it just seemed.
I mean, you said Madame Frankenstein. I was thinking like Frankenhooker or something.
It depends on how you do it. Like,
it could have been, there wasn't a whole lot new there.
Yeah.
Nailbiter, very interesting. Basically, there's this one town in Oregon that has put out like 18 serial killers have come from this town. And these two cops catch this one serial killer, the Nailbiter, who basically eats people starting at the hands.
Okay.
And the one detective is obsessed with this town and figuring out what happened. So he goes there and he calls his partner. He's like, I finally figured it out. You got to come and see what I found. And, of course, he gets out there, can't find his partner. And then the very end, it appears that the nail-biter guy...
got his partner.
Yes. So that's the end of number one. But that was very interesting. Definitely, you know, a horror book, but very interesting. And, you know, of course, the town has all sorts of weird stuff. There's a store, general store selling serial killer stuff. And, you know, it's definitely, you know, he's out there and he's
not like...
Not like
serial killer supplies, like serial
not supplies,
killer,
but yeah, memorabilia, like, yeah, okay. Things like that. So
serial
definitely.
Serial killer supply. Yeah. I thought that's what he meant when he said it, too, actually.
Get your shovels and lie right here.
Yeah, exactly. Future's End number one. I thought it was interesting. A little bit of a slow start, but in the sense, I'm comparing this one to 52 back in the day, where they needed an issue to set up what's going on. So you're going to have the Firestorm story. You're going to have the Green Arrow story. You're going to have, you know, or what happened there. You're going to have the Grifter storyline.
I like the Grifter story.
Oh, the Batman Beyond. So they're setting up these different things. Now, number two that came out today was mostly about the funeral and a little bit of Batman Beyond, the Firestorm, a lot more about that. Gets into a big argument with the rest of the Justice League because he didn't show up in time.
Colin, what's Batman Beyond's name?
Terry McGinnis. There you go.
I was getting
okay.
I was checking
him. So there was a little bit of that. They introduced...
He always calls him Batman Beyond. He's just like, Batman Beyond does this.
It's not as well known.
Mr. Terrific shows up, and you kind of get more of a feeling from him, and you can kind of now see where Olmec's going to be coming from.
Really, okay. I thought this issue was kind of setting up more of the next issue. Like, it had the... You have to have some setup, but I understand.
Yeah, number
it's
one
like
was
five
a lot
issues
of setup.
And it's all set up. I'm just like... You know, that's what I felt with Walking Dead. Like, it was a lot of just...
11 issues of setup.
And finally
something
happens, but it wasn't that important after a while. That's what this kind of did. I liked it. I just like how it's showing us a different time. Like, it's telling us a little bit in the future of what's happening. My question is, how did what's his name? Terrific, Mr. Terrific.
Mr. Terrific.
How did he get back from Earth 2? Mm-hmm. He's been in Earth 2.
I don't know. It's 5 years later. Who knows?
So he might have got back by then. Yeah. That's funny. But
and you also had that Stormwatch thing.
Yeah,
being
Hulk
attacked.
Was part of Stormwatch.
Hulk.
Hawk.
I was going to say, it was Hulk and Storm.
That's part of the crossover.
That's
the Dark
crossover,
Side comes
Dark
to Mark.
They switched them up a little bit. They should do that, frankly. They should switch some of these characters up a little bit, make them a little more interesting. You know?
All right, we're going to take Dark Side.
See how Captain America
and...
goes up against, like, Dark Side, you know?
Well, that's going to happen.
They're
just going to call him Thanos.
I wonder if the adamantium shield, not adamantium, it's half.
Vibranium.
It's half and half. And vibranium shield would affect the Omega beam.
I don't know.
We don't know. We should know. Anyways, it was good though. It's been a fun issue.
Yeah. Okay. Original Sin number one came out.
I liked it.
Yeah. So did I.
I really liked it.
Didn't like it the zero that much, but I definitely liked the one. A lot going on.
You know what I liked about it the most was the fact that it felt like
the great Mike Diodato art.
It felt like how Marvel's supposed to be. You had Nick Fury there. You had them sitting in a diner and discussing stuff, and then they finally went to go do what they had to do, and they get to the moon and find that the Watcher is yeah, and it's Fury. It's actually Nick Fury, and I don't know. It just feels right. It feels like everybody's kind of involved where they're supposed to be, and I know I don't like when they change too much of things. None of us are like, but like the Nick Fury thing had me a little bit because the new guy does not matter.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. He's not a, you know, he isn't Nick Fury. The whole point of Nick Fury was he had all the secrets of Marvel, like, you know, stuff that you didn't know, that nobody knew. And, like, this guy, he's not experienced in anything. Like, Nick Fury Jr., he's not experienced in being Nick Fury. Like, and it's not the fact that it's the Samuel L. Jackson Nick Fury, because in Ultimates, he was the Nick Fury. Like, he did all that kind of stuff. This character is just a random
soldier. Well, he's just starting out.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
When he was Sergeant Fury, he didn't have all the...
Nick Fury's been around for so long that he's a character that...
Yeah, he's been around since World War II.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, he has something to do with... He might know what's going on, you know? But he helps move things along sometimes with these type of stories, and I just I don't know. I just don't. It just felt right. Like this book, it felt like how Marvel used to be. It's just, you know, I thought the choices of the people at the diner were kind of random. Then again, they were all kind of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. type deals, like Nick Fury, Black Widow, Wolverine. Just to see what's going on, what, you know, it was a good start. Like, it's a good start issue. I didn't read the Zero issue.
It's just a great hook for
for a
limited series of Who Killed the Watcher.
Yeah, I agree. I just want to know more of what's going on. So, I didn't read the Zero issue. You did, Colin, but mm-hmm. You said it wasn't that.
It was more the new Nova going to talk to the Watcher and trying to find out about his dad, and then his Watcher goes, "He's alive." And what? And he, yippee! And he flies away. And just, it was just,
the only thing I could see is that, like, he was the last person to see the Watcher before he was killed. Like, does at the end, did they show, like, maybe, like, somebody was there, like, at the time, or at the end of that book?
Not necessarily there, but showed up. It was kind of a case also, he showed him his weapons vault and all that stuff, and then all that was gone. So, you know, someone stole the ultimate nullifier and all that stuff.
That happens.
So, everyone's home. Yeah. But yeah, my only concern with it is just all the, as expansive as it's getting, because it's now up to like 30 some books.
Really?
Yeah, with all the tie-ins.
Oh, with the tie-ins, yeah.
So
I just don't read the tie-ins. The way I see with tie-ins, unless you're already reading the book, like the book that it's tying into, there's no point of just jumping into it.
The secret origin sin of Deadpool? Come on.
Yeah, you that's really that something is. I'm really wanting to know. I'm
sure, but it's with Dazzler.
He plays a huge part in all of this, you know? I doubt it. I really do.
I mean, I read Deadpool, and I don't even know that I'm that concerned. I mean, his mind's a little warped, and how do you know that what he's telling you his original sin is really his original sin? He doesn't know.
He's got plenty of sins.
Yeah.
He's a mercenary.
Yeah. I figured it'll be somebody who we're not really expecting at all. Like
Sentry.
That's true.
Haven't seen him in a while. That. I mean, he's dead, but
he's pretty dead.
That's what he wants you to think.
There you go.
Squirrel Girl. Okay.
And number two is next week, so we'll get to see a little more of that pretty quick.
Is it bi-weekly?
No, you know how they do things. next up, The Woods, number one, was a neat book. James Tynion is doing this one. It's his first, like, creator-owned thing. He's doing it at Boom. And basically it's this high school, and just kind of a typical high school day, typical high school problems going on. And all of a sudden, boom, something happens. They all look around. They've been transported to, like, this different planet, because you can tell things are wrong. There's two moons and all this stuff. And they're trying to figure out what the heck's going on. They're being attacked by these huge bug things or eating people. And they're trying to figure out what to do. It was good, interesting, different. And then there was The Wake, number eight, which was really, really good. And I don't know how in the world they're going to wrap this book up in two issues.
Today you're drawing on your notebook. You know what they're reminding me of?
No.
We just talked
Coulson.
About it.
Oh, Coulson. Oh,
he's sitting here drawing.
Sweet.
He's got, Colin's got, you got to make a little circle. It's a lot. I'm just like, it's Coulson. Like,
right.
Because I saw you doing the dots, and now you connected them, and I'm just like, there's something
should
here.
Should post the picture every week. That should be the picture with the podcast.
Somebody will try to decipher it.
Yeah. Good luck.
And then you'll be like, they'll be like, oh, that's where the Zodiac Killer went.
Yes.
Like,
crap. I gave myself away.
He's at a comic book store. Yeah. We should have known.
But that's what I read from last week. What did everybody else read?
I read Swamp Thing. It's been good. Like, and I keep saying this, but even after Scott Snyder, it still has that feel to it. Like, this current writer, I forget who's writing it.
Soul.
Right, yeah, that's right. But they're introducing new avatars, which I never thought of.
So you have wind and fire,
earth,
and water.
Wind, fire,
earth, wind, and fire.
Heck of a Shire. but they there's a bunch of avatars. Well, there's a few avatars they're adding. I could have sworn you told me about this before.
No,
but
it wasn't.
I read it in previews or something. But they introduced in the last issue an avatar of the gray, which is fungus.
I think that would be green, you know.
Well, I don't know. Mushrooms are kind of a whitish color. a whitish gray color, if you find them. Anyways, they.
I'm just saying, at green plants. That's all.
Yeah.
Well, you already got green ones.
Right. So why do we need gray for fungus? That's all I'm saying.
Fungus and plants are two different things.
Oh. Okay.
They are. Look it up.
No.
They're in a different kingdom. But in the story so far, they've been dealing with this group called the Serene that shows up, and they switch bodies with one of their members with Swamp Thing, and it turns out they weren't the Serene; they were some company who works for like agriculture and stuff like that. And he's trying to sell it to like this thing that's if they wear this thing and they're able to tap into the green, they're able to kill off competitor crops. So they don't have to, so they can sell more and the other competitors will go out of business. And that's what they were stealing it for. It was all for money. But it turns out that Swamp Thing finds the actual Serene in India, and there's only like one person left in it. And the Serene has with them the avatar of the Gray, who has been basically using bodies, just like they switched the bodies with Swamp Thing. They've been giving up bodies for a long time. People have given them to the avatar so she can have it. So basically, you know, she's been living in somebody else's body, and then she keeps her avatar body in like a tomb.
Okay.
And that way it's still there. Nobody else can use it, but she's still the avatar, but she's able to use an actual human body. But the thing about the human bodies are they burn out, and that's what's happening in Swamp Thing now. He could die, but he might live, but the person he switched it with will die, and he won't be able to go anywhere because he has to switch bodies with somebody. But it was kind of neat. They have to figure out like what they're going to do and of getting the body back and stopping him, which they do because it concluded. But adding more avatars, I've been wondering since they first began this story why they haven't had other avatars. Like, it wouldn't make any sense why it's just red, rot, and green. Like, there's other things in the world. And I'm kind of wondering, like, the new story has Aquaman shows up. It ties into previous Swamp Thing issues where as Avatar that took over for Swamp Thing in that issue, he creates red algae and it affects the ocean. So obviously Aquaman's going to come and say, you know, what was going on here. But I keep wondering, like, is there going to be an Avatar to the Blue? You know, the two I remember they were talking about, I swear, were fungus, which did show up, and metal. And I don't know. So I'm kind of interested in the story of what they're doing.
Avatar metal, yeah.
Metal avatar. That's what it is.
Well, they've got the avatar of Earth, Wind, and Fire, a bunch of 70s
funk
band,
Earth, Wind,
you know,
Fire.
Big afros. Pretty sweet.
But it was good. I want to see where it ties into. They're going to have the annual is going to be a little. No, the annual of Aquaman has. One of these has to tie in. Like, I think it's going to be like part one is in this and part two is in Aquaman or something like that. I could be wrong, but I know they have an avatar. They have an annual Aquaman coming out pretty soon, I think.
Could be.
And it's dealing with some of this stuff. So.
I don't know. It's a blur. I can't remember these things.
April is a 5-week month, so it'll be.
It was. We're
July.
In May.
Yeah.
I think that's it, though. I think everything else you talked about.
David.
You talked about the two Image books, The Woods, number one. I read that.
You stole his books.
Sorry, I'll go last next time. I'm sorry.
With the school transported to the... It looks like they're on another planet.
Yeah.
Because they share like a Jupiter.
I hate when that happens.
I know. That old story. So that was good. I was interested to see where that goes.
You hate when you show up on another planet.
And when these things bust through the windows and just devour you alive like the one kid.
Don't you hate that?
Ugh.
Depends on who it devours.
And I read Nailbiter 2, which Colin stole from me. But it was suitably creepy, very good. That was well done.
The cover was creepier than the inside.
Yeah. I just, you know, the first double page spread was pretty awful in a good way. And
I've read Real Heroes number 2.
Okay, I didn't get to number 2 yet.
Which I don't know about, by Brian Hitch, Words and Pictures. I don't know about this book, because it was... There's these heroes, these actors are on Earth, and they play the superheroes, okay. And then somehow they're transported to another Earth, where the real heroes have died, and they have to act, play the parts of these heroes. So the whole issue is them getting ready to make a tape statement.
Wasn't it
to
the plot of the Three Amigos?
What?
Kind of, yes.
Three Amigos.
I love that movie.
Don't get Adam off track.
Be over here singing My Little Buttercup.
This invasion on this alternate Earth is run by Brainchild. This guy with a giant brain, like the leader.
Almost. It's not Wapo.
So I don't know. We'll see where it goes. But I think they could do more. Hopefully, there's more to the premise here. And I think everything else was talked about.
Okay.
Pat doesn't have anything to talk about.
Yes, I never read anything except for I read Green Lantern, which was the beginning of Uprising. It was pretty interesting because they've had the problem with the Duralins or whatever they are. They're basically shapeshifters, and one of the issues. You know, they talk about, well, how do we find these guys? Because for whatever reason, the rings can't seem to identify these people. So Hal's getting ready to take them all off into battle, and then they see there's a whole armada coming to get them. And, you know, Hal kind of gives the speech, hey, yeah, I kind of know that you thought it was me when I made the big announcement that Green Lanterns are bad, but let's just talk about this. And then someone shoots green energy at one of the ships and blows them up. And it turns out that half of the Green Lanterns are these shapeshifters. So then, you know, Hal figures out that, okay, they wield the rings, but they don't have willpower. So they kill off all these shapeshifters and the rings fly off. And that's where it ends, is they're going to go find... where the real Green Lanterns are. They're captured somewhere.
It felt kind of like... It feels kind of weird that they're able to, like, control the rings at all. But...
Yeah.
On the other hand, like, it was funny because it seemed like the rings were confused. Like, because they're so good at shapeshifting that it didn't know... Because, like, my favorite part was, like... It turns out, like, none of them are dead that they took over the bodies for because they're alive, because the ring knows they're alive.
Yeah.
So it's funny because when they put on the ring and it leaves, they're like, Lantern deceased, because they kill them.
Yeah, and it says Lantern located.
And it's
and
like,
it just takes off.
My mistake, Lantern located or something like that. It's like, error. And I'm just like, that's funny because, yeah, it flies off and they all go look for the... It's a part one, right?
That was part one. Part two came out today in Justice League Corps. Or Green and Lantern Corps. I read
Corpse.
Yeah.
Corpse. Who's dead?
The Lanterns.
Okay. I read Iron Fist 2, which there's... It rehashed a lot of what was in the first book, and he goes back to Kunlun, and it's all destroyed by a big dragon.
Oh.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
Do.
Yeah.
That's like when the comic book store gets destroyed by a big dragon.
By the goat.
And Colin's like, shoot, he chases him with a broom. But get out, dragon.
Yeah,
it's
right
here. $1 for every time.
A dragon busts through the window. That's what happened to your Superman sign. Dragons.
Justice League 3000.
Still enjoying it. I haven't read the new one yet.
Yeah, okay. I like the... I did like the new one. I thought the art went back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy for that.
I like Firestorm in this.
Yeah.
He's all about Firestorm.
He's got more of an ego. Well, he doesn't really have an ego like Superman.
I'm not helping you.
He's just like, what's the point of this? Like, I don't want to do this. Like,
make me an offer.
Like, it's just so funny because these twins, like, really screwed up. Like, they're just so... They don't know what they're doing. Like, they're smart, but they don't... They like, lack common sense.
It's one of those, and you know, Jurassic Park syndrome. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something.
And it's funny because, like, what's her name? Ariel Winters?
Yeah.
She's very, like, she has, like, the smarts and the common sense.
Yeah, that's why she walked away from
the
project.
And that's why she walked away. But it's, like, both groups are evil. Like, what do they call them? The Five?
Mm-hmm.
And then the group, Cadmus.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both very, you know, I don't know. Isn't Cadmus the group from Superman?
Mm-hmm.
That was during, like, in the 90s, they were using them a lot for that Doomsday stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they brought them all the way into that.
Deadpool versus Carnage, so.
It's still the best book ever.
Hey, if you like Deadpool and you like Carnage, what's better than putting both of them together?
Yeah. If you like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a serious book, but it's...
I really did like the Carnage series that they had going on.
Minimal Carnage or Maximum Carnage?
That was awful. Maximum Carnage was okay for the 90s. What was that? It was a book called Carnage, and then there was one called Carnage USA. And they weren't bad. Like, they were kind of like, for like a mini-series, they were worth reading.
And then I read The Punisher, which is just continuing on his deal with the Dos Santos gang from Trial of the Punisher. And then the Howling Commandos are there getting ready to take him out.
Do you remember not too long ago they had a Howling Commandos series that was out? It was more like they were science fiction, like monster-type characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't even know what happened to that.
No.
That was a while back. But I was wondering what happened to those characters, because I think it took place in modern. Like, it was
present
day.
That was just weird.
Was that the group that Matt Murdock ran into at the end of Daredevil?
That might have
been.
Was,
like, the monster people.
The monster squad?
Like, these were actual, like, they mutated into, like, these huge, like,
monsters. Oh, so they were actual Howling Commandos that they changed into.
Yeah, something like that. I don't remember.
Seems like that may have been, like, a trademark. You know, we need to secure Howling Commando.
They posted online about original Sin they had Punisher, and they showed underneath that he was like the world's most successful like
mass murderer,
and everybody was debating that because they were just like, couldn't they find anybody else that was the world's most successful? And, like, my favorite one was Cassandra Nova. And I was like, that is, like, the biggest mass murderer in Marvel, besides Ultimatum.
Well, if they want... Yeah, but if they want to show Frank Castle's original Sin, they just got to go back and read War. Or, no, Born. That's right. Where he kind of sells his soul to the devil in order to survive. That's his original sin right there. So
it's kind of funny. Who is leading this this team in Original Sin? I forgot all about that. That's like a separate team that they needed.
I'm not reading.
Well, like how the one team has like Gamora and you know, all these people. It's like, oh gosh, why is she on a team? Can't imagine why.
But it's like Nick Fury decided that he needed them, or he's like telling them. Like, doing both ways, or what? I don't know. I kept wondering that. And then I guess the bad guy in Original Sin is, like, a new... Like, this guy...
We don't know.
Well, on the cover, they keep showing this guy with a big eyeball on his head.
He's been around. I don't remember who he is, though.
Captain
Eyeball Head.
Yes.
Why not? You know?
His friends call him Blinky.
Maybe it's the Norse fear god that, you know, the serpent... That's you've been waiting for him to come back.
Yes.
That was your favorite bad guy. That was like your favorite battle, wasn't it? Where it didn't happen, like they showed it off panel.
Yes. The death of Thor and the death of the serpent in fear itself, yes.
They turned around and serpent was dead.
Yes.
I was going to say.
He's like, what happened? When did this happen?
Because the way to beat that guy is just a giant finger. That's the
Captain Eyeball.
You
take
can't.
This
oh,
Captain
the eye. Okay.
Where's Mo when you need him?
Yeah, that's right. Where's Mo?
That's all I read.
That's it?
No. Okay, I wish that they brought Angela into the Marvel universe. Why can't they bring in the Three Stooges? They're too busy running Marvel.
The all-new. Be the all-new Three Stooges.
Yeah.
That's true. It was funny. A friend of mine out in Colorado, he does a board, too. and he started doing it because this week we got
marker board.
We got all new Ghost Rider, all new Ultimates, all new X-Men, and he just kind of continued that. So hitting the rest, all new Avengers, all new Hulk, all new, you know, just every Marvel book that came out this week was all down new. As all new, and he's like, get them now because next week they'll be old. So,
well, that's a podcast.
No. Hang on, we forgot to do this last week. But coming next week, to get you guys excited, we got Amazing Spider-Man 2. We have Batman and Frankenstein. I don't know. That one just kind of intrigues me. Batman Eternal 7. Shocking.
Especially that last crossover with Batman and Frankenstein.
Yeah. How happy is going to be they left them all cut up. Yes. East to West number 2. Elektra number 2. Forever Evil 7. You've been waiting. The book you've been waiting months for is finally coming.
Well, that's actually right. We have been waiting months for that book.
Yeah. Harley Quinn 6. Invincible 11, which is so new, it has 3 number 1s in it. That's how they promoted that one. It's like
3 number 1.
What? Okay.
Well, an I is, you know, in Roman numerals, it's a 1.
Yeah. Justice League 30 and Justice League of America 14 to give the epilogue to Forever Evil, because those are late too because of Forever Evil being late. Last Broadcast number 1, which is really an interesting little book about magicians and stuff. It's another Boom book. I got a black and white
Boom
preview. Littlest Pet Shop number 1 for all the kids.
And Adam.
Man.
MPH, the new Mark Miller book. I haven't read it yet, but it's interesting, and there are 6 covers. Yay. Future's End number 3. I know that's shocking. Hey, and they helped me out, too. It says weekly.
Oh, okay.
I wonder if Batman Eternal says weekly.
It's not a weekly. It's just coincidental.
Has anybody noticed, like, Batman in a lot of the books has been going, like Damian used to do?
I didn't notice.
Anybody notice that?
No.
Yeah. Go look, the most recent one I can think of is that Batman versus Bane. After he defeats Bane, he says it. He's been doing it a lot since Damian died. I'm kind of wondering if there's something to do with something.
Mm-hmm. Then we got Original Sin 2 already. Saga 19, Saga's back after a little hiatus.
You called it
Saga? Saga?
Now you said Saga this Suga. Time. Now what happened?
I don't know. I've been beaten down.
Saga.
Shadow, Midnight in Moscow. Howard Chaykin writing and drawing Shadow, which he did long ago back in the 80s. Sinestro number 2. Solar Man of the Atom number 2. And Unity number 7, finishing up Unity for all you Valiant fans.
Sometimes Howard Chaykin, like, I don't like who they put, like, with him inking.
Okay.
Like sometimes
I don't know. I think it's mostly him. I think it might him digitally and stuff.
I don't know. Sometimes, like, it depends. Like, older stuff I don't mind. Newer stuff of his, like, it's just like, eh. Like, I didn't like him in Blade when he did Blade.
Oh, see, I like Chicken. So.
And it got canceled. Blade.
Definitely. After 12, yeah.
That was kind of sad.
But you know who wrote Blade? This is very cool. My moment of, I may have told this before. I had been reading Blade. I like it. I'm a big Chicken fan. And so issue 12 comes out. I sell out before I have a chance to read it. Reorder, can't get it. Crap. Okay. Finally, the trade comes out. So I sit down and read the last issue because I don't know how the whole series ended. And as it ends, the last 2 pages, you're reading and Blade's kind of reminiscing about things. And you open the page and it's a Gene Colan, new Gene Colan, giving his origin. And it was just awesome. I'm a huge Gene Colan fan. And so after I read that, I sent him an email thanking him for this and just what a surprise, what a genuine delight that was to turn that page and to see that. It mentioned I sold out, you know, and everything. He sent me a signed copy. You know, I didn't ask him to, but he sent it to the store. I'm like, how cool is that? Of the book, of the issue I was missing. How cool is that? But it was Mark Guggenheim, who's the showrunner on Arrow. So I have, and he's coming, he's doing something with Marvel. And something with the X-Men coming up, I forget. But yeah, so he kind of won me over right then, so I do anything for him. So that's, you know, I've tweeted him a bunch on the Arrow saying, you know, great
job.
You
went to the store when Blade came out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's been a little while.
So oh, yeah. I mean, that was right when I first opened, so I was, you know, 6, 7
years
ago. It was
okay. Like, it wasn't
great, but it was interesting. Like, he cut off his hand and had a gun. And, yeah, it was interesting.
And they were going into this story, which they'll never come back to, like, that he found his father. And that's who he was looking for. Like, and his father was white.
Mm-hmm.
Which everybody was just talking about online.
Well, that's definitely not Wesley Snipes.
And it lasted so long. Like, they had this interesting issue where, like, Spider-Man turned into a vampire on Christmas.
Yeah, that was all part, that was a tie-in to some event.
It was probably
Wacky LSD Adventures.
It was probably the invasion, Secret Invasion. Because I think a lot of that time.
No, it was before that. It might have been Civil War.
It could have been.
There was a time, but yeah, I remember that Santa thing where Santa was taken over by a demon. That was pretty wild. Yeah, and Spider-Man was bitten by a vampire, but he got better.
That was the first issue. Oh, was
it? That could have been. That was interesting.
I'm not sure. Did he turn into a bat?
No,
I was disappointed actually when that was canceled because I didn't think it was that horrible of a story, and they were bringing a new character back a little bit, and 12 issues. See, that's the thing. Like what I was just talking about, they don't know when to cancel stuff, and then back then they were canceling whatever.
Things
so, 12 issues in, so whatever.
Okay, well we're good.
That's a podcast.
That's a podcast. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Abilities in a single bound came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town, walk between billionaires and evil scientists, sorcerer supreme. All the teenagers are buying this gamma radiation. Nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. All I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America when a soldier out Siberia, rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in the coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe, super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this for all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build a mansion in Asgard and fund the Hellfire Society. Studio is Cerebro, mind patterns and rhyme, cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets, demand things when I speak, like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtape still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover, ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip.
On these cats, right? Yeah.
Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will battle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time. Watch your chain react. Can't lie. I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets. Unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it, yo. Please. Shots to your chest. You're rocking a vest like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm blonde when I skip lunch. Eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest. Making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on the